I think probably all of us like to hear stories about healings. Maybe we've even known people who have received some kind of almost miraculous or perhaps even miraculous healing. So today we have two of these stories from the Old Testament, from the time of Elisha, the prophet. It was 8 centuries before Christ. We have the story of Naaman. He was a Syrian, and he was a general leader, and he had leprosy. So if you know the story, it's kind of interesting. A little servant girl of his wife told her about Elisha, the prophet, that he had tremendous powers of healing. He was a prophet. So Naaman went and encountered this prophet, Elisha. But Elisha didn't even come out of his house. He just stayed in his house. And he told Naaman to go into the Jordan River and to bathe there 7 times, and then he would be healed and cleansed. Naaman got mad and said, "Aren't all the rivers where I live a lot better than this Jordan River that's all dirty and muddy and small?" But luckily, the people around him convinced him that he needed to do it. So he went into the river, and sure enough, he was completely healed. And then, of course, the second miracle involved our Lord. Was one of the many miracles that he performed. And it's kind of amazing because he cured 10 people all at once in an instant. All he had to do was say the word, and these 10 lepers were all healed, all of them. The interesting thing about these stories is that Naaman was an outsider. He was from Syria. He wasn't one of the Jewish people. And as we heard in the gospel today, the only one who thought to go back to thank our Lord was not even of the Jewish race. He was a Samaritan. And yet he was the only one that thought to go back to thank him. I think you might remember that homily or that sermon our Lord was giving one time, and he was bringing up Naaman, telling the people that during that time of Elisha, Naaman was the only one who received healing. And that made everybody mad, because that was inferring that perhaps this outsider was more worthy of healing than the Jewish people themselves. So what's the point of these miracle stories that we hear today? I think is to help us to delve deeper into our faith, into our belief in the power of God, which is not confined to any one race or any one religion. That our God is a God of all peoples. And that's what Naaman discovered, that all these other so-called gods were false gods, and that there is only one true God. And we know this one true God by name, because he has come to us. He has taken our flesh and our blood. He is one of us, a brother in all things, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you would hear our Lord, and he said very clearly one time that tax collectors and prostitutes were entering the kingdom of God before these religious leaders. Why? Because they couldn't see how amazing is our God, that he's calling us all to conversion, that's for sure. I think, I'm not the only one who thinks this, other people do too, that spiritual healing is actually much more difficult than physical. It's more amazing to see somebody convert it to God from perhaps a life of atheism or paganism or whatever, than it is even to see somebody cured of leprosy. We might think of leprosy as just not only involving our body, but there's even a spiritual leprosy. And that's very difficult to heal. What do I mean by spiritual leprosy? Perhaps it's not having faith in God. Or perhaps sinning in some other way. What would be the signs if a person was healed of a spiritual leprosy? I think that person would show more interest, of course, in the faith, like Nehemiah did. That faith would be awakened. Their desire to serve God would become much more intense. Their struggle against sin will become much more intentional. Have we received such a conversion in our own lives from a life of sickness, leprosy, to one of blindness, to one of seeing, to being cured of sloth or waywardness in other ways? I hope that all of us can probably remember some time in our life when we were transformed, when we were converted. If we haven't, perhaps we can pray for that. We come here today because we recognize our God for who He is, and we love Him. And it's only right, as we will say, right and just, that we thank Him. We thank Him full of praise. Matter of fact, what we're doing today, we call Eucharist, the Greek word for thanksgiving. What do we have to thank God for at this particular Mass? First and foremost, I think we should be very grateful to God because He sent us His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and who died on the cross in atonement for our sin. We thank God because we are baptized, washed clean. We thank Him because He's feeding us with His very body and blood. We're grateful that He has given us faith. He's made us His children. And we thank Him for healing the wounds of our blindness, the spiritual leprosy of apathy and carelessness. So, brothers and sisters, we're united in our faith. We rejoice in our God. He's given us so much. And with His Holy Mother, we proclaim the greatness of the Lord for all these wonderful gifts we have received from our gracious and merciful God. Let us imitate those in the Scripture who recognized our need for God and in thanksgiving offered that to the Lord.